A wristwatch found after the Hiroshima atomic blast recorded forever the instant of the explosion. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the day when time stopped. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Sometime after the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima in Japan, workers were sifting through the rubble and found a wristwatch whose hands were permanently fused into its face, forever recording the exact instant of the explosion, the moment time stopped. But time really didn't stop except for one tragic city and thousands of poor victims. Time, of course, never stops. It's perhaps the world's only remaining constant, relentlessly marching on 60 minutes to the hour, 24 hours to the day, and so forth. Time can be wasted, but never lost. This fact is important to remember as we continue our discussion of the Sabbath of the Bible. We've established from Scriptures that Saturday, the seventh day, not Sunday, is the Bible Sabbath, and that God wants us to keep it. Today we'll examine what the churches themselves say about the Sabbath. But first, we want to consider a very common question. How can we be sure that the seventh day today was the seventh day of Bible times? Has time ever been lost? That's the question, and I suppose that question has been asked by multitudes of people. Now, some persons who have not made a thorough study of the matter have thought that calendar changes have caused time to be lost, thus making it difficult or even impossible to identify the true seventh-day Sabbath today. Now listen, friends, the calendar changes have not affected the order of the days of the week in the least degree. There was one small change, but it did not affect the weekly cycle. Saturday has always been followed by Sunday. Sunday has always been followed by Monday, and so on. The astronomer Hinckley said, quote, "By calculating the eclipses, it can be proven that no time has been lost, and that the creation days were seven divided into 24 hours. Now, Professor Totten of Yale University tells us something very similar. He said, quote, "In spite of all our dickerings with the calendar, it is patent that the human race never lost the septenary sequence of weekdays, and that the Sabbath of these latter times comes down to us from Adam through the ages without a single lapse. No day is missing, no cycle calls for less, all call for the same, and all unite in a concert of testimony not to be shaken by man or the devil." Now that is a statement by Professor Totten, an astronomer. Now listen, we can trace the Sabbath from creation. The weekly Sabbath goes back to a time before man sinned. It could not possibly be a type or shadow of the gospel because the need for the gospel had not even arisen when the Sabbath was made. You see, sin had not even come into this world. Paul speaks of other Sabbath days which were a shadow of things to come. But those are the yearly Sabbaths, friends, but not the weekly. He said we shouldn't judge men in respect of those annual Sabbath days or holy days which were shadows of things to come. You see, the Jews had seven annual Sabbaths that came just once a year, like Easter and the 4th of July and so forth. They were added after sin, and they were done away with at the cross. The Bible is very clear about that. Like the offering of lambs, they were a part of the ceremonies that pointed forward to Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is the one factor that definitely establishes the unchanging nature of God's law, which of course includes the Sabbath. If God could have changed His Ten Commandments, Christ really didn't have to die. Christ died on the cross to pay the price of our sin, which is breaking the Ten Commandments. According to 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law. Now, it was because God could not change those 10 holy laws and still be a just God that Jesus had to come and die on the cross to pay the penalty for transgressing them, for man breaking them. Now, many Protestant ministers admit that the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday without any divine commandment or authority. Now, first of all today, let's quote from a Lutheran leader. This is Pastor Bielenberg. And this is what he says, "There is no command in the Bible to keep Sunday as a day of rest. Why do we keep Sunday?" He says, why do we keep Sunday? The seventh day is not the first day. The Lutheran, that's the end of his quote. Now, the Lutheran historian Mosheim says this, and Mosheim is a very well-known authority, church authority. He says, quote, "The church, we say, has ordained Sunday. We are bound to submit ourselves to her authority. How weak is this prop? Jesus has freed us from the ordinances of men. The church has no right to make laws." Now, that's what Mosheim said. And it certainly has no right, my friends, to make laws at conflict with the Bible. Notice what Dr. Flowers of the Church of England has to say in his book of sermons. He says, quote, "In the New Testament, the observance of Sunday as a day of rest, or indeed in any particular way, is not enforced by a single word or suggestion." All right, and then we find the Methodist minister, Dr. Watson, in his Theological Institute, saying this, "There's not on record any divine command of the apostles to change the Sabbath, the day on which it was held by the Jews, to the first day of the week." Now, if we do not have any of God's command in this, as Dr. Watson says, and we have no authority, then that's what's lacking, my friends, in the observance of Sunday. There is no divine authority behind it. In the Epworth Herald, a Methodist journal, we read these words, "If the New Testament silence on any subject proves that that matter is unimportant, then the Christian emphasis on the observance of Sunday is really a mistake. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to observe Sunday. Nowhere does it say that Saturday Sabbath keeping is wrong." That is from the Epworth Herald. All right, 500 years ago, the majority of people believed in salvation by works until Martin Luther came along. Now, they called him a heretic, of course, for preaching justification by faith. And this was just an indication that the church had been in darkness during the Dark Ages, and God was calling out great men, men of the Word, to rediscover the teachings of Jesus that had long been buried under tradition. The Reformation continues. The time has come for the Bible Sabbath to be restored. Dr. R.W. Dale of the Congregationalist Church made this statement in his book, The Ten Commandments. He said, "It is quite clear that however rigidly or devotedly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath." All right, friends, notice that. The Bible says to keep the Sabbath. And if keeping Sunday doesn't satisfy the Bible commandment, then we ought to be doing something about it. Dr. Archibald Hodge of the Presbyterian Church said this, "God instituted the Sabbath at the creation of man, setting apart the seventh day for that purpose, and imposed its observance as a universal and perpetual moral obligation upon the race." And then Dr. Donald Fraser of the Presbyterian Church said this, "There is not the slightest evidence that our Lord or his apostles regarded or taught others to regard the first day of the week." All right, what do the Baptists say? This is from the Baptist Sunday School Quarterly. Quote, "It is sometimes argued that Christ abrogated the Mosaic law, and therefore there's no longer any obligation to keep the Sabbath. But he himself declares that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Notice that he never says that he abrogated the Sabbath." End of quotation. Now, some people say, well, that's it. That's why I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Christ fulfilled the law. Listen, friends, a criminal could take hold of the same kind of reasoning and say, well, that's it. That's why I can steal. Christ kept that commandment. I don't have to keep it anymore. You see, that kind of reasoning is not consistent. It's not rational. It doesn't add up. It's not biblical either. Dr. Edward T. Hiscox of the Baptist Church made this statement. He said, "It will be said, however, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh of the first day of the week. Earnestly desiring information on this subject, I ask, where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament, absolutely not." Now, friends, listen. If it isn't in the New Testament, then it isn't for us as New Testament Christians. And the Bible is clear on this. And evidently, these different spokesmen that I've quoted today, representing a number of different churches and denominations, were also possessed of very definite convictions on this matter, that Saturday is a true Sabbath and Sunday is not authorized in the Bible. Chambers' Encyclopedia, under the article Sabbath, makes this statement, "By none of the church fathers before the first century is Sunday identified with the Sabbath, nor is the duty of observing it grounded by them either on the fourth commandment or on the precept of Christ or his apostles. Now, Chambers' Encyclopedia says again, quote, "Unquestionably, the first law, either ecclesiastical or civil, by which the sabbatical observance of Sunday is known to have been ordained, is the sabbatical edict of Constantine, A.D. 321. Now, that's under the article Sunday in the Chambers Encyclopedia. Well, friends, that's a long time after the last book of the New Testament was written, isn't it? After God had once and for all settled what our duty as New Testament Christians was, Sunday came in far too late to be a part of the New Testament. In fact, we don't have any record of it being kept as any kind of a holy day until hundreds of years after Christ. Now, let me quote from the Encyclopedia Britannica, volume 23, page 654. It says, "The earliest recognition of the observance of Sunday is a constitution of Constantine in 321 A.D., enacting that all courts of justice, inhabitants of towns and workshops were to be at rest on Sunday." Now, they didn't call it the Lord's Day, but the venerable day of the sun is what they called it, the day on which the pagans from ancient times worshiped the sun. Now, the Bible has foretold an attempted change of the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day. On future broadcasts, we're going to explain this prophecy more fully. Suffice it to say now that the Bible describes the power that would speak great words against the Most High. And this very same power, called the Antichrist in the Bible, would also make war against God's saints and would actually try to change times and laws. And it says that God's people would be given into the hands of this power for a certain period of time. And the Bible and the prophecy even spells out how long this beast power would control the earth. So it's very interesting, friends. The story of the change of the Sabbath is a fascinating subject indeed. And we'll be dealing with it in future broadcasts. But you can get the whole story in our free book on the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. It's called The Beast, the Dragon, and the Woman. If you just write and ask for the Beast book, we'll be happy to send it to you without any cost at all. Now, Amazing Facts books can be coming your way every month, friends, if you join the growing number of our regular financial supporters. Your tax-deductible gift will make the broadcast and all our literature possible for you. In fact, we'll be able to continue on the broadcast only as these funds are made available. And our book of the month goes out to all of those who send a gift. So let me hear from you this week. And be sure to give the call letters of the station that you're listening to when you write. And, of course, you want to be sure and ask for the Beast book when you write that card or letter. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.